Welcome back to Gather to Scatter. We are Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel. We are three friends who love to talk about Jesus. In the next few episodes, we are going to talk about relationships, all of them, every single one of them. But this week, we are going to start it off right with our relationship with God. We must gather well to scatter well. We'll laugh, we'll cry, we'll definitely be weird, but our hope is to encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on scripture. Mm-hmm. So we're back. It's been a while.
It has been a while since we recorded.
They don't know that.
Yes, yeah. Since we recorded, we can tell them it's not a
life
secret.
Life has happened. Things are going on.
True that.
Yeah. We're back though.
We keep going. We are back.
And better than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Before we get into the topic.
Yes.
Rach.
Yes.
You got something to share?
I am so excited about this. So obviously, the more episodes we do, the more you guys will get to know us and kind of our likes and our dislikes. More to our likes, I am a nerd.
Oh.
Shocking. I know. But I love literally anything superhero related. Yeah. So superheroes, my cup of tea. So my mom, my sweet, sweet mother knows this. And so she found this article on Facebook and she sent it to me. And she said, did you know that Batman is based on a true person who lived in Suffolk, England.
Where?
Suffolk. Suffolk. I am so sorry if we have any English Suffolk. Listeners ever.
Suffolk, England.
Suffolk, England. He moved to America. Okay, so I did some more research, and this is like a urban legend, so okay. I don't know if this is true, but in 1878, this man's name is Bill Smith.
Sure.
He was indicted for catching and punching a thief who had stolen a leg of lamb from a shop. A sympathetic judge released Smith, which inspired him to create the character of Batman. But there's a picture online, so obviously it must be true, of this man with this very, very large white beard. We will post the picture in the show notes with a Batman hat on. So this man, Bill Smith, was a very, very wealthy man, and he just spent his days getting bad guys. And I thought that was so funny.
It's a good thing he's wearing that mask so no one would recognize him.
Good thing.
Yeah, no one would know who he was.
That is a very interesting beard.
Santa Claus doesn't want you to know that he's also Batman.
But I'm thinking, life. Santa Claus and Batman? This man does it all.
He makes toys by day, saves the world by night. Let's go.
Spreads joy to children while protecting them. Like, what?
Wow.
Good men are good.
Bad men are bad.
I'm not going to say we should bring back vigilantes, but.
Oh.
I said I'm not going to say that.
And then you said it.
I said I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
Well, plot twist.
Uh-oh.
Rachel didn't have a question. She just had a fun fact.
I did.
That's true.
So.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. No,
I guess I could make it a
plot twist to me, too.
Who is y'all's favorite superhero?
Oh, I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man.
I love that.
Iron Man.
I see that.
Robert Downey Jr. is.
Yes.
Like, I love that guy.
Okay.
I don't like this question.
Oh,
why?
Because there are so many of them.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
I have to have one?
Favorite.
You don't have to just like one.
You go first.
Chris Evans. I know he's not a superhero, but Captain America. That's literally all I know.
Dare you just saying that because he loves Jesus? Is that Chris?
No.
Chris
that's
Pratt.
That's Chris Pratt.
Oh, shoot. There are so many Chrises.
No, that's Chris Pratt.
All right.
Captain America is what I meant to say.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Honestly, the Chris Pratt character, what's his name? Because he's funny.
What did she just say?
The Chris Pratt character.
You said Chris Pratt.
Oh.
The Chris Pratt character.
I'm doing great today, guys. What's his name?
He plays Star Fox.
Nope.
I don't know. Star Fox is a video game. I used to play that when I was a child.
He's in
Star-Lord.
Jinx.
We got there.
Jinx, yeah.
From Guardians of the Galaxy.
Avengers, not the same.
Star Fox.
I don't remember what his real name is.
Anyway, because he's silly.
You just said his real name.
And the music.
Star-Lord is his superhero name.
No one calls him that, though.
I thought
he wants people to call him that, but no one does.
I thought you meant Chris Pratt, because that's his real name.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
My best friend.
Peter Quill. Peter Quill.
Peter.
But maybe Spider-Man. Guys, I don't know. I'm not going to pick.
I like Peter Quill for you.
You can't change it because Rachel likes it for you.
Okay, I like Peter Quill for you. I like Iron Man for her. I like Peter Quill for you. That fits.
And you like Captain America for you. Chris Evans.
I know. So our relationship with God.
That's what we're talking about today.
There.
Oh my gosh. And actually we had so much to talk about that we may be doing two episodes. Time will tell. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we touched a little bit on God and being in community with himself in an earlier episode. But our relationship with God ties into our identity. Mm-hmm. And it's how we know our worth. And that directly affects every other relationship in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so what better place to start?
Yeah.
So, Rach.
Yeah.
What you got?
So, I really think, obviously, the best place to start on our relationship with God is at the beginning. It's a very good place to start, I've heard.
Let's start at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So, obviously, we were created with a purpose. So, we touched on this, like you said, in other episodes, specifically the community episode. So, God himself is triune.
Yeah.
And he made us to be in community with each other. Mm-hmm. Yes. But also, he made us to be in community with him. In the garden, we see Adam walked with God.
Yeah.
And that is the, obviously, Eden, Nirvana that we were made for. We were made to be in beautiful, complete communion with him, mm-hmm. meaning we were naked and unashamed.
Yeah.
So we are meant to come to him with everything. We are meant to glorify him in everything. And that was broken in the fall. One of the biggest things that God, when you are in right relationship with him, does help is because we all desire to be fully known and fully loved. And yeah. I know that we've talked about that as well.
Yeah.
And when we do come to him, and this is something that I struggle with, y'all know, when we come to him and ask for things for ourselves and we come to him and bear our burdens to him, and it's not just a, I've got this, God, thanks for everything you've given me. And it's not a using God as a genie. There is a peace and a comfort that we feel because we are fully loved by him when we come to him in humility like that.
That's good.
The other thing that I really wanted to talk about and really spend some time on is the way we worship God. Mm. Because when you are in a relationship with anybody, that relationship is going to grow and flourish based on, one, the time you spend with each other.
Yeah.
And then also the time you spend thinking about the other person. Now, that obviously has been twisted, and this world and the enemy has made that a tainted thing where we obsess over what other people think of us.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking of the other people in who they are and what they do. So when we are worshiping God, that is what we are doing. We're putting the focus on him and not on us. Mm. So
that's good.
So everyone, I think that's a place where the church not goes wrong, but maybe could phrase a little bit better is,
yeah,
do you have a relationship with God? Everyone has a relationship with God, mm. whether it is good or not. Whether they realize it or not, they have a relationship with him because he made them.
Yeah.
So the question is not, are we in right relationship with him? Mm-hmm. So how are we to relate to our creator? Mm. Again, like I said, he made us to be in communion with him. So how do we do this? People have been asking this question from literally the beginning of the church. How do we walk with God? How do we worship God in the correct way? And I think the best way to start is to think about how he relates to us. Mm. And I found this really good article on desiring God, but it has 5 different ways that God relates to us. And we'll link this article in the show notes. I'll just walk through the 5 ways that they walk through because I just think they're so good. First, like I said, he is our creator and we are his creatures.
Yeah.
So Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Mm. So there's two main things that I want to talk about here. So obviously in our relationship with God, we are to relate to God as he made us.
Yeah.
This is about to be a what shouldn't be controversial statement, but it says God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created each of us in a specific way
yep.
to have a specific relationship with him mm-hmm. the way he created us.
Mm-hmm. Not the way we wish we were created.
Correct. Yes. I was trying to figure out the best way to say that without just being real rude.
Oh.
It's not rude. It's factual.
Yeah. But the joy and the beauty in that is that he made us specifically the way we are because he loves us. Mm-hmm. So, and we've talked about this. We talk about this all the time. Like our, especially as women, our insecurities are things that we're focused on in ourselves, but we don't see it in others.
Yeah.
So I struggle with my smile because I feel like my smile is uneven because like one part of my mouth, the gums are more exposed than the other. And it's just a...
Shoot us a smile. Oh, stop. It's so sweet.
And I literally was like, one of my favorite things about you is your smile. And she laughed and she was like, I don't like it at all.
But that's because I'm thinking about the way I wish I was. Yeah. Not the way that God
yeah.
beautifully designed me to be. And we all do this. Mm-hmm. Because part of it stems out of pride because we think we deserve to look the way we want to look. Mm-hmm. And part of it is out of an insecurity. So pride yeah. and insecurity are the same coin, just two different sides.
Yeah, we've been warped to believe mm-hmm. that we're supposed to look a specific way for perfection, which mm-hmm. is fake anyway. That's not realistic.
Exactly. That's so good. The last sentence of that portion says, it is good to know that we are not God mm-hmm. and to be reminded that our fullest and longest lasting happiness will be found in his purpose for us, not the one we might choose for ourselves. Again, mm-hmm. that's the Desiring God article.
That's good.
The second way that he relates to us is we are sinners and he is our savior. Mm. So Titus 2:13 through 14 says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Mm. So we are, and I just was talking about, we are imperfect.
Yeah.
We are broken because of sin. We are experiencing the consequences of our original parents' fall.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that enough.
What do you mean?
The actual sin, the actual depravity.
Oh, yeah.
Because we want to, and of course we do, we want people to know God loves you. We want people to know his love, his mercy, his grace. In order to fully understand
mm-hmm.
how amazing that is, we have to understand our need for it first.
Amen.
We have to understand ourselves, see ourselves as the sinners that we are. It's not just like, oh, please help me. It's no, I am unable
yeah.
to save myself
yeah.
because of my depravity, because of my sin.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I started off fine and then fell into depravity. No, I started off this way. And mm-hmm. so if we spend 5 minutes talking about the gospel and the majority of the time we're talking about God's love,
mm-hmm.
we can miss a lot of people who don't understand why we need his love and why it's incredible that he loves us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that beautifully plays into the last portion of this section of the article. And it says, it is good to know it is finished.
Yeah.
Ooh. So yes, we are broken. We are sinners.
Yeah.
That is what we bring to the relationship. We bring the sin that is necessary for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But it is finished. He has, so the work of the Trinity in our lives, he has saved us. He is saving us. He will continue to save us.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. The third point is he is our father and we are his children.
Mm.
Romans 8:15-17 is beautiful. It talks about Abba Father. Go read it again. We'll link all of these verses. And then 4 is he is our shepherd. We are his sheep.
Mm.
Again, that's just a, such a beautiful visualization because of what a shepherd does. If you ever do a study into like what actually being a shepherd meant at the time and how they protected their flock and how they would corral them into this pen at night and then actually lay down in the doorway so that if any predator could would have to actually step on them to get to their sheep. It's just such a beautiful visualization of what God does for us. And then the last point that this author makes is that we are weak and he is strong. And it's one of my favorite verses. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Calling back to our sin and our weakness. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Those are just some really good points about how God relates to us. So then how are we to relate to our Lord? Again, this is something that the church has been struggling with and really trying to wrap our finite minds around from the beginning of time or from the beginning of the church. In a historical context, so the Old Testament, Israel, related to God less in a personal way. Yes, obviously God has a personal relationship with everybody, but the Old Testament Jewish community really experienced God in community. So it was all about the communal worship, the ritual sacrifices that the Old Testament priests had to make. That is how they related to God. And there are glimpses of people experiencing a individual relationship with God all throughout the Old Testament. You see David in Psalm 23 talking about, again, the shepherd. God is my, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We had a guest speaker at church, 2 weeks ago, I think. And he was talking about that portion. He was talking about that, section of scripture. And I had never thought about it like that. And it says that it uses the singular pronouns, like 16 or 17 times or 23 times or something.
I think it was 17.
17 times?
I think so.
Yeah.
Don't quote me, but quote
him. So, yeah. But so you don't think about that in the Old Testament as much. But you do see it.
Yeah.
We really see the switch. So that is, you see a lot of visuals of the church being the bride of Christ. So the community of the church being the bride of Christ. Yes. So we are to relate to God in community. And that is why it is so beautiful when we are together to worship together.
Yeah.
And when we hear each other singing and worshiping our Lord who created us, and we know what each other are going through.
Yeah.
We know the struggles that each of us are having. It is so beautiful to look over and see that is my sister. I know it literally took everything that she had to get here today, but she is singing.
Yeah.
And it is wonderful.
Yeah.
And that encourages our walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Can we go back to how you had said that everybody has a relationship with God? Because I think that's really, I think that's one, a bold statement. And I think that for anyone who's listening who maybe doesn't know the Lord or is, you know, coming to find the Lord or even,
maybe
even
is against it.
Is against it. Sure. Whatever walk you're in, or even someone who does know the Lord, like that, that's kind of a, that's confusion, a confusing question. How, you know, because if people don't even know God, how do they have a relationship with God?
Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
Okay. So the best way that I can explain this or talk about this is if you think about how our world has severed community relationships to a point where unless you're in like immediate conversation with someone all the time, you don't feel like you have a relationship with them. But that's not how it used to be, because we are so connected, quote, scare quotes, connected.
Scare quotes?
Scare quotes.
That means the air quotes.
Scare?
I don't know why people call them scare quotes, but...
Do they? Do people call them that?
Yes, they do. I'll show you later.
Do not look it up.
I will show
Keep going. Connected.
Yeah, so people are so connected on Instagram and social media, they feel like they have relationships with people that they don't even know.
Yeah.
But we've defined relationship in a way where it excludes any kind of...
Depth,
yeah. So even if someone does not profess Christ, if someone is not saved, he is still their creator. And therefore, there is a relationship. It might not be deep. Like a parent and child.
Yeah.
Like even parents who put their child up for adoption, that child's mother and father are whoever adopts them, but they still have a relationship with their birth parents.
Yeah.
It may not look, it doesn't look like the specific order that the Lord, you know, gave us. But
yeah,
there is still a relationship there.
So Oxford Dictionary says relationship is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected. Mm. So we are all connected to God, one, because he made us, and two, because he's literally holding every fiber of our being together as we breathe.
Yeah.
So there is a relationship. It does not mean it is good. It does not mean that it is fruitful. It does not mean that it is even perceivable.
Yeah.
But there is a relationship.
Well, and we use that word to describe so many different things. Mm-hmm. Like, we all have a relationship as friends, but we also have a relationship as women, but we also have a relationship as sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different, I guess, layers or levels of relationship. And so, like, at its very foundation with this definition that Rachel just read, like, we have a relationship because we are in relation to God,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not we actively work on our relationship and pursue a relationship with someone is our choice. And it's a choice that we make every day with every human in our lives. And it's the choice that we make with God every day if we're going to choose to spend time with him, to get to know him, so that we can in turn tell others about him.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And the last thing that I will say on that is there will be an eternal relationship, because you will either be spending, and this is going to be something that is more controversial as well, disclaimer, we will either be spending eternity in the presence of God's glory and wonder, or we will be spending eternity in the presence of his entire wrath.
Yeah.
And it's one or the other.
Yeah.
There is nothing short of that. Okay, so back into how we relate to God in historical context. I mentioned the Westminster Shorter Catechism. One of the questions, the first question is, what is the chief end of man? What is our purpose here on earth? And the response is, the chief end of man is to glorify God.
Mm.
And that is how we relate to him. And that is our ultimate purpose, is to glorify our Lord and maker and savior for all that he is, because he is worthy of our praise.
Yeah.
He is worthy of every fiber of being that we have, just exalting him, because he is more marvelous than we could ever imagine.
Yeah.
So I say all of that because historical context in how people have historically related to the Lord is very different from how we do it today in more westernized American Christianity, more modern Christianity, because we have, and again, I'm going to go back to the importance of community, because we have individualized Christianity so much. And it is an individual experience. As I mentioned, Psalm 23, God wants to be in community with us individually, and that leads to our personal relationship to him. But we still need to rely on community, like we talked about in the last episode.
Yeah, that's episode, another both and.
Yeah, episode 5, if you want to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, and that's a dangerous both and to make an either or. Mm-hmm. Because the heart is deceitful above all else. We see that in scripture.
I'm struggling.
We see that in scripture. It's very blatant. It's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we like don't find that balance of being individually seeking the Lord in relationship with him and mm-hmm. being in community, if we tip this way to individual relationship with God and we are neglecting our community and gathering as a church, as the Bible says we should, then it's very easy for us to, and even in good faith, like read the Bible and misinterpret things. Mm-hmm. And we weren't meaning to do that, but it can help us to fall away
mm-hmm.
instead of encourage us to cling to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I've loved about our accountability group and small group and church, is that we're all learning. And then we hear from each other and we're like, oh, I didn't even get that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so much more fruitful because we're hearing our brothers and sisters and the things that they took away. But then on the other hand, if you tip too far towards just community and you are neglecting your individual relationship, mm-hmm. you become the CEO Christian, the Christmas and Easter only Christian, that isn't going to be doing anything throughout the year, but they show up when they're, quote, supposed to.
Yeah.
Scare quote. Supposed to. And we have to have the balance.
Yeah.
It's both and.
What's a CEO, Christian?
I was Christmas and that. Easter only. Oh. CEO.
Oh, it's an acronym.
Yeah.
I was like, well, chief executive officers out there listening.
Oh,
you can be no. Christians as well.
No, the church I the church I grew up in used that.
Okay.
CEO, Christmas, Easter only.
Okay.
Yeah. There's another way that people say that. I don't remember what it is, though. Creasters? The Creasters.
Creasters.
Yeah.
So all of that leading into what our personal relationship with him should look like.
Yeah.
But to that, I think this is cool because this, so what we named this series is relationships. And this first episode, of course, we wanted to speak on our relationship with God. And then when the three of us started to put our notes in, we all three had different things as to what we wanted to talk about with our relationship with God. And we were all like, oh, that's what we were talking about? I thought it was this. And like we all interpreted that, even just that differently. So I think that was really cool. So Rachel came in with community and then I came in with my personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And then Jordan will finish it off and we won't. No spoiler alert.
You just have to listen to hear what her relationship with God is.
And maybe come back for part two.
I don't know.
Maybe I won't talk together.
But I think, I mean, they're all so important, right? But as Rachel was saying, like, we're here to glorify God. We're here to experience him. We're here to, you know, receive him into our hearts. God was not lonely. He didn't need us. He still doesn't need us. He wants our acceptance. Like, he needs our acceptance. He doesn't need our...
Yeah. He needs us to accept his invitation into relationship with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. What Jordan said.
He loves us. He doesn't need us.
Yeah. He loves us. He doesn't need us.
He loves us in spite of ourselves.
He wasn't lonely.
Yeah.
He didn't need us then. He didn't need Adam and Eve then. He wanted us here.
He wanted him. Yeah. And he wanted to glorify himself.
Exactly. Rachel mentioned a few points in her article as well, but just to touch on them a little bit more. So I wrote down three main areas that I want to call out as to what I believe that my personal relationship with God, I feel as he is. So I know that God is my protector.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he is my leader.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, I know he is my father.
Yeah.
And protector, I copied the definition here from Oxford. You know, good old Oxford.
Rachel approved. Yes, well, for now.
Well, yeah, because I think Oxford has we don't need to get into that. But behind the scenes, Joe. Yeah.
Take it offline.
I feel like protector is a really important one because a lot of people might say and tell you when you're in a tough situation or something, you know, really sad is going on with yourself or your family, people come at you with, well, how could your great God be doing something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. If this God loves you so much, how could you be going through that or your family member, your friend or, you know, whatever it may be. But protector means a person or thing that protects someone or something. Mm. And it doesn't mean that if you go and you rob a store that God's going to keep you out of jail.
No.
You know, you're doing something that is unlawful. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to protect you from the punishment that is of the world.
Like,
exactly. What that means is there is some reason somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so beautiful about God too, is that we don't get to know the answers for everything. And that's also really hard.
Yeah.
But you just have to trust that whatever situation you are in, your family, anybody close to you, that he is there and there's protection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In one way.
Yeah. And we can trust if we were supposed to know, he would let us know.
Yeah, that's tough.
It is tough.
Sure tough.
Because the why behind things are so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
But he is our protector. Like, maybe the why behind it would hurt me further.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he's like, you didn't need that. Mm-hmm. I saved you from this.
Mm-hmm.
I am your protector. So I'm not going to let this thing happen to you or whatever the situation is. And you might not get to know why, ever. So our church does a young adults service on Tuesday nights. And this past Tuesday night, we were in a message on miraculous healing. And our lovely pastor's wife got up and talked about a really hard time in their life and in their marriage. And she talked specifically to that question. She said that she had gone through a dark period of time in her relationship with the Lord. And it's because she was focused on the why. And so she changed that question in her mind to, okay, God, what are you doing with this?
Yeah.
So instead of why are you letting this happen to me? Why not me? Why me? Why? It's okay, God, what are you doing with this? Like sitting back and watching him work things out, because yes, we might not know in this lifetime, but in eternity, we will get to see everything as it was meant to be. So we will get to see how God works through all things for the good of those who love him.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
That is great. I like focusing on protector. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
a special role for him to have.
Yeah.
We need to be protected from ourselves.
Yeah.
From others. We're in a fallen world.
And if you want to relinquish all control and you actually want the freedom, you have to trust that you have him protecting you as well. Yeah. Otherwise, how can you be fully free?
You can't. Yeah.
You can't. Mm-mm. Otherwise, you'd be living in fear, right?
Yeah. Every day.
Every day.
It's like that child falling asleep and knowing that their father will carry them to bed.
Yeah. Man, the good old days.
God.
Just.
He will not drop me.
He will not. No. So the second is God being my leader. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of that plays into the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God of peace. He's not a God of confusion. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like recently I've been like on this roller coaster ride, right? And I'm just like, where am I going? Like, where am I going? But I'm trusting. And I recently have been thinking, like, I'm on this roller coaster. And I just keep picturing this rainbow because, hi, beautiful. And God's just sitting on this rainbow and he's watching me and he's watching me on this roller coaster ride. And he's protecting me, but also the Holy Spirit's leading me, but he's waiting for me, right? He's watching me on this roller coaster and he's like, you could get off at any time if you just come to me, mm-hmm. let me lead you, get off this roller coaster. But he's not, I don't think he's on the roller coaster ride with me. Mm-hmm. I think that without him, I can't get off the roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
But I need the Holy Spirit in me to get off. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what's leading me.
Yeah.
And, but.
That's good.
I don't know. I've just. It's still good to know that even when we're at the lowest mm-hmm. or even when we're at the highest, mm-hmm. there is still a reason. There's still a reason for both of these seasons or all of the seasons, not just, you know, it can be halfway, three fourths, whatever part of the roller coaster you're on. Or not roller coaster, it could be, you know, straight line. But
yeah.
I like the
That imagery.
Yeah. And I also just feel like if you're not feeling right with God, like you need to do a little, it's a heart check. Yeah. It's a head check. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, it's a Bible check.
Mm-hmm. All the checks.
Open that word, get right with God. Like, because he knows you're struggling, but you have to go to him.
Yeah.
And man, it's so hard too, but it feels so good.
Well, and you touched on something that I think is so real in the Christian walk, but I think it is so hard for us to describe and explain because it is like what you say, like God is not on the roller coaster with me. Like he's not experiencing the emotional highs and lows the way that I experience them. Mm-hmm. He does weep when I weep. He rejoices when I rejoice because he loves me and I'm his child. But he's not on the roller coaster ride. However, I can't get off without the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that's not something that is really a tangible thing if you have not experienced it, because when you have the Holy Spirit leading you, you are able to overcome things that you would not be able to without him. And that, again, that doesn't mean you don't fall, it doesn't mean you don't sin, because we all still do, because we are broken. But We are being saved. That is part of the sanctification act, is we are, the Holy Spirit is doing a work in our heart to lead us. And that is the daily grace that we get in him.
Yeah.
I love that, Mariah.
And it reminds me of, I don't remember where I saw the video, but someone was, you know, recording their friend, and they were like, why does God send people to hell? And he just like snapped his head over, and he was like, God doesn't send anyone to hell. We're on our way there, and he gives us an option out.
Yeah, he gives us the off ramp.
Yeah.
We're careening towards it.
Yeah. Like to a waterfall where we will plummet to our death, which is eternity in his wrath, like you said earlier. Mm-hmm. And he gave us a way out.
He did.
And unless we have that Holy Spirit that softens our heart and help us to recognize our depravity, our need for not just a Lord, but a Savior. Mm-hmm. And again, both, and we need both a Lord and a Savior. Then we're going to keep staying on the roller coaster or going over the waterfall or staying on the highway. Like whatever imagery is helpful for you, mm-hmm. we have to have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Period.
Yeah.
Amen.
Also, that, I mean, that's a really, like, the Lord is our Lord and Savior. God is our Lord and Savior. I didn't put that as one of my three bullets, but I feel like that one is one that is.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, they're all kind of self-explanatory if you really but I mean,
we could go a lot of
ways. I know, I just feel like, well, you said that, and like, yeah, he is our Lord and Savior, and that's a really important one. But
he
is
so many things to us.
I know,
like,
he is.
I was like, okay, I've got five.
I know, I know. You just can't, you can't touch on all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unlimited the amount of things he has to us, and we're going to keep learning about it for eternity with him.
I love that.
It's so good. It's such good news. It is such good news. We have eternity to continue to learn about our Creator.
And he loves that we like to learn. Yeah. That's that verse in Psalms that I love that I can't remember the reference for right now, but it's to the glory of God to conceal these things and the glory of kings to seek them out, because he wants us to seek after him and learn more about him. And it is joyous.
And like, in what relationship does someone not love that? Like, it means so much to me in our friendship when you guys ask me questions about myself or when you follow up with things. Like, you guys are seeking my friendship. Mm-hmm. We don't just get to know each other by bumming around, not talking to each other, asking hard questions, encouraging, challenging, all the things.
Yeah.
You have acquaintances that stay there for a reason.
Yeah. And not just, like, the hard things, but, like, the fun little things.
Yeah, the silly things.
Yeah.
We love silly things.
And how fun is it, too, when, you know, a friend, like, point out something about you to like someone else, like, you know, he's up there and he's like, you just memorized that verse, you go girl. You go girl. Like, that's so fun.
That's good. Probably more like, all right, keep her humble, she doesn't remember the reference, so we're good, keep her humble.
She has time.
She's got this.
So I have a couple things I want to say after we touch on the third point, but the third is that the Lord is my Father. Mm-hmm. And there's a few verses, I'm not going to read them, but a couple bullet points here. So in Isaiah 43:1 and then Luke 12 and Matthew 10:30, he knows me by name, by every hair on my head. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Wild.
Amazing. Beautiful.
Also, tease that a little further, how much hair we lose and how much grows back, and he knows all those numbers. It's not like it's one constant number. I'm just saying, that's a lot of numbers to keep track of.
He loves numbers. Have you seen the Bible? Have you read the Bible?
We know. Mariah also loves numbers.
I love numbers.
I love that.
The numbers in the Bible are so intriguing to me. Isaiah 49, he's known me since before my conception. Jeremiah 12:3, he knows my heart.
Knows. That's good.
Jeremiah 15:20, he is always with me. And quite frankly, when I reread those things, so he knows me by my name, by every hair on my head. He's known me since before conception. He knows my heart. He is always with me. My earthly father, shout out dad, I love you to pieces. He can only account for one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know. That's just so, that is, to me, that was a really hard concept to grasp at first when I was like starting my walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what do you mean you are my father?
Yeah.
I have a father.
Yeah.
I love my father.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me to love you more than my father? It's weird. It's a weird concept to grasp. And I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to try and sugarcoat that. Like, it was weird. And quite frankly, like, still sometimes when I say the prayer, I'm like, Heavenly Father. Like, yes, you are my, like, I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to even articulate it. But yeah. So I really love that.
And that is something that I think is beautiful that you get to walk through. Not everyone does. Like, I grew up in a family where that was just always the truth. And so, like, there are certain parts of my faith that, like, now further into my faith, I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. what do I think about this?
Same.
Not this necessarily. God just is our Father. These are things that you are getting to explore for the first time as an adult.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful that you get to really look into, wow, he is my Father. Also, this could be hard. We've talked about it before, but mm-hmm. some people don't have a good relationship with their father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like,
yeah,
my Father in heaven.
So he's terrible.
Right.
Like, no. Mm-mm.
Our earthly fathers are supposed to represent mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. And that is not always true. And if that is not true for you, genuinely, I am so sorry.
But he is a father to the fatherless.
Yeah.
Go to him. On that note, one of my favorite points that you just made is that he's known me since before conception from Isaiah 49. That you individual listening to this podcast, even if there's only one of you.
We love you.
We love you. Whoever you are.
Thank you.
We really do.
You are intentionally and purposefully created.
Yeah.
And I touched on it before, but we live in a world of, I think we're coming out of it now, but we're living in a world of secularism and humanism and everything's an accident and we're just cells that happen to come together. No, you are purposefully and intentionally created the way you are to glorify the Lord.
Yeah.
And he has known you since before time. Mm-hmm. He has known who you are going to be. He has known the job you're going to have. He has known how many freckles you have on your skin. He has known what colors your eyes are before you were even a thought of in your great, 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 great grandparents' mind. Like, mm-hmm. that is insane to me because yeah. I don't think about a God who is that infinite and that wonderful caring about the specific details of my life. I can get caught up in the majesty of him and how low I am, which is a good posture to have, but it is a, yes, he is my father. Mm-hmm. And he does want to know me in a special and unique way because yeah. he loves me, Rachel, yeah. individually. And that's
good.
I love that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean this in with zero, I don't mean to sound condescending. I don't mean to sound rude by any means, but if I truly believe as someone who didn't believe in God, but I also didn't know what I believed really. Mm-hmm. If you can believe that evolution is a thing and that we came from apes, why is it mm-hmm. crazy to assume we came from a rib,
mm-hmm.
you know, or nothing? Mm-hmm. So
from a God.
Yeah. He so, loves us. So yeah. take that. And like I genuinely mean that yeah. as like that's a question to like ponder on and to think about it if you know anyone listening is a non-believer.
Yeah.
Why is one easy for you to believe but not mm-hmm. the other?
Yeah. And that's a good practice, I think, regularly. Like, okay, you 100% don't believe this. Great. For the moment,
mm-hmm.
let's put off the table that what we now are saying is not true. Let's mm-hmm. just believe it's true for the next 15 minutes. What if? What if there is one God who is triune, who made you perfectly, meaning mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with the way that you were made, who loves you, who sees that you are headed towards destruction,
mm-hmm.
knew that there was nothing you could do for yourself, so he sent his one and only son to save you from yourself, so that one day you could be with him in glory. What if that's true? Mm-hmm. That is radical.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely radical. That should make you shake. That is incredible. And for those of you believers who believe that, that needs to be radical to you every single day.
Yeah.
The gospel is something that I need to hear every single day, Amen. Multiple times a day, Amen. Because I should never become callous to it. It should make me cry every time. Every time I take communion, every time I see a baptism.
Every time
bring
you worship.
Me to tears. Yes. Mm-hmm. Every time.
There's a great book that I'm going to recommend by Lee Strobel. So he is the one who mm-hmm. wrote A Case for Christ. He is a investigative journalist turned not theologian, but turned Christian author. So he used his investigative journalism skills. Basically, he went on a journey to disprove God and ended up becoming a Christian. In just, the Lord has done wonderful things through this man. But he also wrote a book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And it talks specifically to that point that you're talking about. And it's a great read. If anybody considers themselves an intellectual and wants to have that conversation with someone else, that is a great book.
It's good.
It's so, I wish I were better at like not having to think before responding. Like I'm just such a thinker. So like, this is always so hard for me every time. Cause I'm like, I hear you guys speaking and then I think about what you're saying for a really long time. And then I want to go back to it, but we're like 30 minutes later. It's just always so hard for me to
we can go back.
No, oh. I know. It's so true. We can editing. Hi. Man, sometimes I wish I had a stand for my microphone, but I chose this life.
You did.
I actually do.
You could always get it back. Choices.
I know, you guys. I'm just.
You're doing great.
It's fine. Okay, so I think I'm procrastinating, so I can find the words.
Oh.
No, I have the words. I'm trying to articulate it. So, I feel like when I read The Relationship with God, I thought personal because, well, I definitely couldn't have gotten to where I am without my community as well. But it wasn't until I had to go through like my heartbreak and then turn that heartbreak and recognize the blessing of what that was to fully conceptualize how much God loves me. And so I feel like my personal relationship is so strong. And I know I've really only been walking with God for like not even 2 years. So it's like, I can't imagine where this is going to go and on the seasons I'm going to have, but it's been so strong and I'm so thankful for that. If anything, talking to him is like the easiest thing for me, which I know is so hard for so many people. But for me, it's like, the Bible, like, I'm so glad I read the Bible in 90 days, but also that was really tiring. So, like, now I'm kind of, like, struggling to, like, get in the Word, even though I know how cool it is and I want to keep studying. But, like, the one thing I do religiously is talk to him, whether it's – whether I talk to him throughout the day or whether I just pray at night. Like, I almost can't go to sleep without praying because it's – I feel heavy and I'm, like – I just, I need to end the night with him.
And he tells us to.
Yeah. And I feel so thankful that I feel like this desire to like have to end my night with him basically. And I've been, I've just been like very emotional recently. And my sister-in-law said something to me today and I was like, wow, how funny considering what we're about to talk on today. Amazing. But she brought up this verse and I went and looked it up and I was like, that's amazing. But she even said, she's like, I love that even when I can't speak and say the words for myself, like the Holy Spirit intercedes and like he knows what you're saying, even without you actually saying. And that I loved that because like I've been so down emotionally and it has been hard for me to like talk to him throughout the day. I still pray, but it's been hard for me to like talk to him. And then I just sat there and like through all that crying that I've been doing, like he knew. He could hear it and he does ask us to go to him and talk to him, but I couldn't. It was like I was paralyzed in a way. I couldn't even get them out because I don't even know. I don't know why, but I couldn't. But there's comfort in this verse, so I want to read it because I think it was really cool and it was just fun that she brought it up. But Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God.
That's good.
And I just think that's so cool. And I don't think that you can really like feel that unless you have a personal relationship with him. And if you don't, I'm so sad. I'm looking at you guys. I know you guys are. If you don't, I'm so sad because it is so good. So try. Just try. What's the worst you can do? You talk out loud and you're like, hello. Hello?
Hello? Is anybody there?
Or just like, you know, and I feel like that's also, like, that's something that maybe is not talked about. It is weird.
Yeah.
You want me to get on my hands and knees and talk out loud or, like.
To someone I can't see?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone who's not going to respond back to me, like, you want me to do this every day, multiple times a day? What?
Like, bring everything to him?
Yeah. Yeah. Cry, be angry, ask for things, repent. Like, you want me to do all these things to
hear nothing in return?
To myself, like, you know, I know who I'm speaking to, but like, if you don't, like, you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
And that sounds weird at first.
Well, I mean, it's. I think about all the movies where it's like, God, if you're there, and it's like, we have the peace and knowledge that he is there.
Yeah, there's confidence.
Yeah.
He is there and he is listening to us and he loves us.
Yeah.
So that he is interceding for us in groans that are too deep for us to understand.
Yeah.
That is, I love that verse. I love that you brought that verse. It's such a good verse.
And it's good to have what you were talking about earlier, Mo, just like these words that you've chosen. Protector, leader, father.
Mm.
How sweet is it that you now have this personal relationship with God? And like, you grew up, you knew who God was. Like, it might not have shocked you if you heard, like, yeah, God is our protector. Like, he leads us. He's our father. But now you know it in personal relationship with him. And so when any of y'all feel heartbreak or worry or fill in the blank and you find relief in that, I'm so glad that you do. It's hard to put into words how special, how incredible, how personal it is to bring those things to the God who created you, who will always be your protector, will always be your leader, will always be your father. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He has ordained all of these things. He is a God of order. And so even in our chaos, even in this fallen world, he's still in control.
Yeah.
And so you can see that now, and we can see that. And there's nothing better, because now I go through hardship and I am asking what?
Yeah.
Instead of why.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, this one's a doozy. This is terrible. Look at all of this. This is just absolutely shattered. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
Can't wait to see.
Yeah.
Sucks right now, but I know it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And I can say that in confidence.
Yeah. I just want to talk very, very briefly about, because it is such a beautiful, and there is a peace that surpasses understanding, truly, when you are in relationship with the Lord and you are crying out to him. Or you're rejoicing in him. But like Mariah, what you're talking about, like there are seasons in your walk and there are times when you don't feel the same emotions in the moment that you felt. And the thing that gives me confidence is that he is our protector. He is our leader. He is our father, even when we don't feel it.
Yeah.
Because that is something I really struggle with, because it is, I go full rational, full intellectual, and I'm just like, okay, I'm not feeling it. Like, this is, all right, I'm going to go through the motions. I'm talking to you. Okay. I'm not feeling it. And it just, you can give into despair when you are in that situation. But the confidence that we have is that my salvation and who he is not determined upon my emotions.
Yeah.
It is determined upon who he is, just the fact that he is who he is.
Right. And feelings are not facts. Feelings are very fickle.
Yeah.
Who God is, who he tells us he is in his word, that is truth. Mm-hmm. That is fact.
Yeah. Scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things.
Mm-hmm. I was just actually talking about this with Sarah and Abby last night.
Shout out Sarah and Abby.
We love you.
We do. It's still so weird to me that it was so easy for me to be like, yeah, God, I'm on. I'm in. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And just like took, well, listen, I mean, it started off rocky. But but like I am a very logical, factual person. I don't let my feelings guide my heart. And this wasn't hard for me to, like, I opened and I read Matthew and I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. But I didn't think, like, this is made up. Like, well, this is not the Bible in my hand, but this is not made up. Yeah. Like, in not one ounce of me thought anything but truth, but I was like, huh? What the heck am I reading?
Yeah.
What was going on way back then? Yeah. Why wasn't I in that part of the world? Because that's cool.
Yeah.
I want to walk through the freaking Red Sea. Is it the Red Sea Moses parted? Yeah.
Oh, I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That was good for me. Good job, Mo.
Yeah.
I want to walk through that.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see these wild plagues. I mean, come on, listen, I'm being a little dramatic here, but I think, like,
the Bible was wild.
The Bible's wild.
The things that happened.
Yeah. So I understand people's skepticism.
Judges. That's all I'm going to say.
Go through the book of Judges. You want to see a wild. No one should ever make that into a movie. It would be rated X.
You can buy a Bible anywhere if you don't have anything to read. You've got Judges. More stories in the Bible than you could ever get tired of.
It's so true. But there is a reason why the Bible is the most sold book, most copied book, most translated book in the entire world.
Yeah.
And still throughout, throughout history. There's a reason for that. And there's a reason for all you people who don't want to say that these things happened, the archaeological proof.
Yeah.
Like, there is a reason for all of this. Yeah. And it seems crazy. I know I have been there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, it was just so, it, like, it's so cool for me to think, like, how easy it was for me to just be like, let's go, baby.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
And all it took, I don't even know.
All it took was the Holy Spirit changing your heart.
Well, yeah, true.
All it took was the Holy Spirit doing a miraculous work and making your heart of stone a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
And that is amazing. That is a miracle.
I have one more thing to touch on.
Great. Okay.
Literally just one sentence in here. I haven't even read the whole book, but shout out to the first three chapters. But this one sentence struck me so hard, and I just really want to talk about it because I think it is so wild. I texted it to you guys when I first read, when I was first reading it.
Tell them the book.
Well, I guess I could start. I could start with it. Yeah. John MacArthur called John MacArthur. Mm-hmm. Sorry. John good MacArthur, man. The Gospel According to Jesus.
That's good.
What is authentic faith?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Again, I'm only three chapters in, but so far so good. But chapter one, there is a very insane sentence. But when you get into it, it's insanely intelligent. Like, what a concept. Mm. What a concept. So, today's gospel, good news or bad? Mm-hmm. What does Jesus mean when he says, follow me? So, understood correctly, this is quotes. So, understood correctly, the gospel is an invitation to slavery.
Mm. Period.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
Period.
You. Yes.
Yeah.
Period.
That was his full sentence.
That's heavy.
Oh, yeah.
That is
There's so much that comes wild. Along with that now.
Yeah. But we are bought with a price.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our bodies are not our own.
No. Mm-mm.
We are a slave to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead. It is shocking when you read that and it is, the gospel is an invitation to slavery. And it is because
Found it.
We have just, we don't understand the idea of a master who could be anything but cruel because we want to run our own destinies.
Well, and we also see that word and we don't think about the original context of that word and all the layers that go into that. Mm-hmm. And context is important. Context is always important. Yes, I can't fully understand Rachel as a person unless I understand the things that she went through before I knew her. Mm-hmm. I know you deeper because you have told me your life story, not just because I met you one day and it was just like we went on. Mm-hmm. Like we met in your chapter 10 and you've told me 1 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go back and see what slavery was in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, bond servant, slavery, like – we have to look at all aspects of it. And honestly, we just have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. We just do.
Yeah. And it does mean to Mariah's point, we do not own ourselves. We were bought at a price.
And
we
that is bought. So against what the world tells you.
Yeah.
I think the hardest part about it, what we struggle with, is the loss of the loss or the end of human autonomy.
Yeah.
Because our independence is so it's sinful because we're making masters out of ourselves and we're idolizing ourselves. We are saying that we can do this on our own. Mm-hmm. We don't need anybody else.
Well, and we crave that autonomy.
We do.
You know, I see it with my high school students. They fight their parent and guardian all the day long. Yeah. And I'm like, you're not independent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the back of my mind, I'm like, ask me when you will be. And then ask me more questions so I can tell you about Jesus. Mm-hmm. But they don't always. But it's just like you're never actually.
Right.
Sorry.
But that is the original sin.
Yeah.
You will be as God. Yeah. That is what Eve wanted. That is what Adam wanted. They wanted to be as God. They did not want to be under anyone's authority, even though all they had known was joy.
And how'd that work out for Lucifer? Not too well.
Not too well.
Yeah. It's kind of an all or nothing thing.
100%.
And so slavery is a very scary word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that is what it is.
Yeah.
And we are a slave to either Christ or to our own fleshly desires.
Yeah.
To Christ or to the world.
Yeah.
And that is an option we get to make every day. A choice we get to make every day.
Yeah.
What are we going to choose? And that is up to us because free will, wow, we could really go.
We could go in there.
We could, but we're not going to.
Maybe a future episode. A future episode.
Yeah.
That'll be a spicy one.
Yeah. But this is good. Do y'all have anything more you'd like to share, talk about? Or shall we save it for the next one?
God is perfect.
Amen. Yeah.
His plans are so much greater than anything we could ever even
imagine.
Yeah. And I'm just so thankful.
Yeah.
So thankful. And honestly, I guess I want to just like leave it and ask the question, because a lot of people know God. Mm-hmm. They know who Jesus is. They know the Lord. But do you actually know God?
Yeah. Do you know of him or do you know him personally?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sit on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it sounds like I'm asking the same question twice, but there's emphasis and there's a difference in the question.
Huge difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it's worth pondering. It's worth spending time on. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of our relationship with God. And next time we are going to continue to talk about our relationship with God, and it's going to be related to our identity and our worth. There are so many ways we could go with this, but like you said earlier, Mo, it's cool that we all went different ways.
Yeah.
But this has been awesome. This has been so great. So yeah, that's what we'll talk about next week. Thank you so much for coming, for listening. We want you to come back. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and you search Gather Scatter and subscribe, like, and follow.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.